Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Ah, thank you, Jimmy Lakey. God bless you. It's been such a long time. And he was so good about, oh, yes, I will do the intro and outro for you. Such a precious friend. And it's been years and years. But I know that if I saw him today, we could go on loving each other. And that's what is so wonderful about you. When I see your face and when I hear your voice or see your text or your email, I know that I can go right on in the conversation that we left before because you're such a special friend. Thank you so much for joining us. And I believe Kimberly's lesson today is going to be something that you will hold in your heart and that you will grow from. For the one who leads you makes no mistakes. He really doesn't. And that's why we can say with Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on the earth, because the one who leads you makes no mistakes. And Jesus, who is our good shepherd, he doesn't make any mistakes. And the one who guides you has the right directions. He's going to lead you in the right way, in the right direction. And the one who blesses you brings the greatest joys into your heart. Oh, it's so important that you don't just have a happy moment because you've got a new car or a new house or something has worked out really well in your external life. No, the one who blesses you internally and spiritually is bringing you the greatest joy of all. We talked about that yesterday, and if you'd like to go to freedomstreet.org and click on resources and radio shows, you can hear all those beautiful teachings. And the word never returns void. So remember, when Kimberly and I speak the word and Kimberly reads the word and quotes the word, you know that that word is going to go forth into the radio broadcasts, from the broadcast into your heart and into the radio area of your life. So thank you so much, and welcome, Kimberly, again, Thursday, August the 6th. Yes. Oh, amen.
Thank you. Yes, we've been talking about the Lord having his dream come true and wondering what influences our dreams. And I really like your memory verse for this week, because Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26, they ask the question, whom have I in heaven but you, God? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth.
That's right.
My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Yes. Oh, amen. That is so beautiful. And I'm grateful to the Lord that some of these people wrote them down so we can take those writings and those scriptures and grow from them, grow strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. Oh, so I'm looking forward to today. I really am.
I am too. So just bouncing off of your memory verse, that there's nothing I desire. Sometimes we have dreams and goals that we hang on tightly to, and we end up learning that, well, the longer we live, you mentioned this yesterday, the longer we live, we end up learning that those dreams and those goals are in a broken world, and they have a tendency to break, or mm-hmm. even to just lose their flair. They just lose yes. their attractiveness. And we want to learn how to have God's dreams and God's goals, because mm-hmm. they never lose their attractiveness.
No,
there's
they
nothing
never do.
In this world that we desire when it comes to looking and comparing the things of this earth to his dreams.
Amen.
And it might seem kind of scary to give up our own life and our own dreams for his dream to come true. But I think we need to remember that he dreams through us. Mm-hmm. That a lot of the visions that we have are his visions. And we just need to learn to wait on him, to have a constant conversation with him, because the whole goal is relationship with God.
That's right.
Not having our own dreams come true, having our own education finished, or our own position in life established, or our own home that we've dreamt of, or the car, our dream car. You know, that's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is to have a relationship with him. So we need to learn to wait on him. And one way to live his dream by waiting on him is to listen for his voice in every situation.
Yes.
John 10, verses 26 through 31. This is such a good section. Jesus is speaking, and Jesus says, "But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Mm-hmm. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Yes. Yes.
And then the Jews picked up stones, and they tried to stone him for saying that.
That's right. He's giving them the answer, and they don't want the answer. He in a way is separating the goats from the sheep, hoping that the goats will turn to him, but he is separating them. Those that don't want to have anything to do with him. You know, if we say some little tiny nugget to even an unbeliever or an anti-God person, Kimberly, that is a little seed, and that seed is being planted. So I say, go for it. Just go and give some wonderful truth to people that even don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what you say.
Right. And the Jews that picked up the stones to stone Jesus in this instance were considered the people of God because they were considered Jewish.
Yes.
And so sometimes we need to speak words to the people in our churches, people in Christian communities, people that we believe are people of God. I am a recovering goat. I guess I'll say it that way. Because I just thought I was the top goat. You know, I'm talking about my teenage years and my younger years in my 20s. I just thought I was the top goat.
Now, I ask you why, like a top like LeBron, who is the top basketball player, these guys and women are called goats when they are like number one?
It stands for greatest of all time. Greatest of all time.
Okay, thank you. I was wondering why are they called goats?
Yeah.
Oh, greatest of all time. All right. Ignorant mom has now finally gotten it.
No. You're not. I think there are plenty of people that are not sure what GOAT stands for. But the whole point that I was going to make about being a GOAT is that when you think you've got an answer and you think you've got it together and you think you're on top because you know something that others don't know, that's pride. And right there, you're a GOAT. And not a sheep. I'm not saying you're the greatest of all time. I'm saying you're not a sheep. I was not a sheep when I was thinking that way in my heart.
Yes.
And so I needed somebody to come along and say something to me and let me realize. And actually, it wasn't even a person at all. I remember the day the Holy Spirit actually convicted my heart and said, "What makes you think that you're a sheep and not a goat?" Ooh. You know, when you have that question bubble up on the inside of you and you realize, what is it that makes me think that I am a sheep and not a goat?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Could I possibly be a goat? And how can I tell? I want to be able to tell the difference because I want to be a sheep. I want to be considered part of Jesus' flock.
Yes.
And I think what really happens here between the goats and the sheep are the sheep just, they want to be by the shepherd. They just want to hear him. They want to hear his voice and be by him. They don't have any other goal. Sheep don't have a whole lot of goals. They're followers.
Yeah.
And they just follow their shepherd.
Yeah, what I was talking about in Luke 15 just the other day was that every once in a while, there's a sheep that just goes his own way, but the shepherd goes after him. I mean,
that's
with
right.
his whole heart, his whole being, he's going to find that lost sheep. And that, Kimberly,
that's, right.
that's such assurance, because when we see our children or grandchildren wandering off, oh God, what are they going to do? And then we know, as we pray, Father God, bring them back, that he will, Holy Spirit will do everything in his power to bring those lost sheep back. Yes.
That's
Amen.
Right. Yes. I believe people who misunderstand God's dream, and his dream really is just to have relationship with us.
Mm-hmm.
When people misunderstand the dream and fight against it because they're busy keeping the rules, just like those Jews described in the verses we read when they picked up stones to stone Jesus. Some believe that the dream is to do everything right according to the law. And when you misunderstand the dream and you start keeping all the rules in such a way that then it disrupts relationship, mm-hmm. that's when you know you're a goat.
Okay.
Ouch. I know I just stepped on a whole bunch of toes. Maybe I'm still a goat and that's how I stepped on toes. But that's how you know that you're not really a sheep, that you're not really just following Jesus because you just love him.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to make more of the law. And when we do that, I am not saying that we need to ignore the law. And I'm not saying Jesus taught us that. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that if we make more to do about the law and we're more concerned about whether or not we've just kept the Sabbath this week, you know, that's when we can say, okay, do I have relationship with Jesus? Because maybe he was asking me to help my neighbor mm-hmm. on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. John 10, we're not done with chapter 10. I had started in John 10, verses 26 through 31, when Jesus was talking about his sheep. But he starts before that in verse 7. So John 10, starting in verse 7, Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Mm-hmm. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly."
Yes.
This is the dream that Jesus is wanting to get across to us, that when we're willing to give up our agendas, our rules, our goals, and our dreams, and adopt his dream, then we will have a greater life. We will have more abundant life. This verse that he's talking about being the door, it has to be metaphorical. Jesus is saying that he's the example of laying down his own hopes and dreams and goals in order to do his Father's will.
Yes.
In caring for the sheep, in caring for the people around him.
That's
so
right.
We want to follow that example and enter through him, because he is that door to abundant life, abundant living.
That's right.
I can say that as I have wanted and desired to be more of the sheep, not as much of a goat, and as I have really been listening to him, he has shown me himself all day long, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call it the spray of his presence. It's like he just sprayed himself out there and he's letting me find every little droplet of that spray,
mm-hmm.
whether it's in nature with hummingbirds and butterflies and flowers, or really magnificent trees like those redwood trees we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He shows himself to me in nature, but he also shows himself to me through people.
Yes.
And his image in people. And those people come alongside, and they are the most healing people in my life when I give them a chance and I'm not too concerned about whether or not there's a rule that's being followed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about our good shepherd. He starts revealing himself to us through others in the flock.
That's right. In Revelation, this is so good. We're talking about the door, Jesus the door. And he speaks to the church of Laodicea, which I know we are in that church era of Laodicea, where, you know, I'd rather you be cold or hot, because, but since you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Well, in Revelation 3, verse 18, he says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire. Here's another metaphor. We have resulted in giving up everything through a fiery period of time in our life, losing, and still feeling like we are victorious in this, that you may become rich and white with white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. And those whom I love, I reprove and discipline and correct. Be zealous, therefore, and repent, he says to the people he loves. And then in the 20th verse of Revelation 3, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, I will dine with him, and he with me. What a precious promise. Even in this time in the history of the world, Jesus is saying, come, I open the door, I open the door, and you can come in and eat with me and feast with me. Wow, something to look forward to, Kimberly, when we give it all up.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yes, amen.
And I can't help but think, just on a lighter note now, because I can't help but think how there, I used to take the scripture and think of it so literally, but you just can't do that in these instances, because here Jesus is talking about standing at the door and knocking, but in John 10, we just read that he is the door. He said it twice, I am the door. That's so right. He's standing there beside himself.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. Okay.
Yes. I couldn't help it. It's just what came to my mind, and I had to.
Yes. Amen.
I had to picture Jesus standing there beside himself, knocking on the door, because he is the door.
He truly is the way, the truth, and the life. That's right.
Yes.
He is life.
Yes.
The door is the life and the light of life that we are looking for. And why is it that so many people are tripped up by that? They don't believe that he is the light, that he is life to them. They got to go explore other things in this world, which get them all messed up. And yet, you know, we know that they got to go through it. They got to go through it.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. And when we say that he is the door, thank you for getting us back on track there, Mom. When we say that, we're saying that he's our example. That's another way of saying that he's our example. So we look to him and follow him. We follow him through that door, mm-hmm. right? And that can be kind of scary, to give up your own ideas and opinions and agendas and motives and dreams, you know, to give them up to follow him for his dream to come true.
Yes.
And so that might seem kind of scary, but like we've been saying, the one who loses his life will find it more abundantly. That is what the scriptures tell us. So when we're willing to lay down our agendas, our dreams, for him to have his, we find a greater life. He goes on to tell us in John 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. See, he's not asking us to do something he hasn't already done.
That's right.
He has laid down his dream for us to run around and have our dreams, for us to be looking and searching everywhere. Like you said, we're searching all over the world for the things that we think will satisfy. He has laid down his agendas and motives so that we could have the freedom to do that.
Praise God.
We will come back to him time and again, because we will find that everything in this life is empty, and he is not empty at all. He is full of abundant life. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them.
Yes.
He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Mm-hmm. When we know him and he knows us, that's when we know we're in a tight relationship, that we can trust him, that we can enjoy his fellowship, that we can move the way he moves, and that we can follow his every direction and his guidance in our life.
That's right.
I like verse 16 of John 10, because it says, I have other sheep that are not part of this fold, yes, and I must bring them also, mm-hmm, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd.
Yes,
I think,
amen,
that is such a fun hint to more of Jesus' dream and the Father's dream. Their dream is to gather up the other sheep.
Yes.
There's other sheep.
And make it one flock. Yes, like Paul is talking in Ephesians 2, bringing them together to bring one man, to be one man in the Lord Jesus. I was thinking as I was reading the Message translation about the hired hand. He emphasized that the hired hand, who doesn't care at all about the sheep, is called a sheep rustler. Don't you like that?
Oh. A sheep rustler.
Yes. He just wants to get the sheep so that he can say he owns sheep, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care about them at all. He rustles sheep. It's like a cow rustler, you know, in the Old West. Mm-hmm. Used to rustle the cows. He didn't care about the individual cows. He just wanted to get a bigger herd so he could take them to market. And I love a sheep rustler. Yes, he was.
Use them. You know, yes. I think we were talking about that yesterday, that humans will use each other, and God is not like that.
Yes.
He's not a user. He is a giver, and he gives good dreams.
Yes.
And those who live by his dream are recognizable. I love that Acts 4:13 said that the people were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. When we spend time with Jesus and live for his dream, and we want what he wants, people start recognizing that we're different. They start recognizing that we've been with Jesus. And I believe that miracles follow people who have been with Jesus, that they are able to lay hands on others and pray for them, and the others are healed, that they are able to pray over family members that have been lost, and those lost ones are found. I believe that's how we know that we've been with Jesus.
That's right.
And we're recognized.
Yes. I'm glad you mentioned Acts 4, because in Acts 4, verses 18, all these guys that came against Peter and John, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. I love that. I love what you said.
Yes.
It's just amazing that they had been with Jesus, and they were telling people, even at the point of where they were going to be scourged and beaten, that they were willing to, because it was worth it. It's like,
worth it. There was a boldness, right?
Yes. It's like when Jesus said, are you going to flee from me also? I believe that's in chapter 6 of John. And Peter says, where would we go, Lord? Who will give us these words of life? You know, where am I going to go? And when people say, well, you need to go here, or you need to go there, you need to get counsel here, you need to get advice here. No, I have the word of God. That's my advice and my counselor. So it's really interesting.
Oh, it goes back to your memory verse. Whom have I in heaven but you?
Besides you,
there's nothing I desire on earth.
Oh,
yes.
That's right. Yes.
Amen. And so, trying to remind ourselves that God has a dream, and that it very much involves us, and each one of us individually plays a part in this dream. I want to know what that dream is. You know, what is his dream? Mm. And Jesus showed us the dream is to live for the Father and not for ourselves, to gather more into the flock. And when you think of gathering more into the flock, who do you think of? Are you just thinking about the people that you like? Or do you think about the one who cut you off in traffic this morning? Do you think about those who start wars? What about the other woman who caught your husband's eye and pulled him away from you? Are you thinking about her? That's hard. That's hard. But Jesus did not have any qualifications on the other sheep. Sheep. The only qualification is that they turn to him, like the thief on the cross next to him. And one thing that I have become aware of in my life is my inability to turn to him without his help. To live his dream is to lean on him for everything and not my own understanding. To live his dream is to pray for those who are unable to turn, unable to soften their hearts on their own.
Yes.
Lord, remove their stony hearts and replace them with a heart of flesh that follows after you.
Yes, this is
the prayer that we pray for those other sheep. And it doesn't matter who the other sheep are. We choose to let go of our opinions, our agendas, our motives that stand in your way, Lord. And we choose to give you precedence, to give you priority, to let your dream come true. We choose your dream over our own, and we're excited about your grace and your strength and your power that will increase in us and those around us so that we can all be living the dream of all dreams, your dream, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray.
Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. That was beautiful. And if you'd like to listen to that wonderful teaching, you can go to freedomstreet.org, click on resources and radio shows. And Rachel and I post that every day. Oh, thank you, Kimberly. You have taken time out of your week to call and teach this wonderful teaching on John 10 and other areas. God bless you and keep you. And I guess we say to all of you out there, take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.